Listen live online to the Johnny Ballpark Frank Show at WNSR.com.
Welcome back, Johnny Ballpark Franks with you. Don't forget, coming up just after 5, Barrett Salee, National College Football Writer with CBSSports.com, also a co-host on SiriusXM College Sports Channel 84. But now time to talk some NFL. Pro Football Writer with the Associated Press in New York, the website pro32.ap.org. Barry Wilner, welcome back to the show.
Always my pleasure, Johnny. What's going on today?
Hey, life is good. First, let's start first and foremost, since you do count the votes for the MVP at the end of the year. Based on now where Derrick Henry is, leading the NFL and on pace to do it back-to-back years, but here's the other part. He needs to average less than 150 yards a game. He can join the 2,000-yard club if he's able to get that. He's, you know, just under 1,300 now. There's 5 games to go. The possibility is still there. Are you surprised that until now we haven't heard more about Derrick Henry MVP? Because it seems like there's now a growing list of folks nationwide that are maybe thinking in those terms.
I think the problem there is that so many of the TV broadcasters, particularly the ones who do the national games, don't see beyond quarterbacks. So, and most of those are not voters, thankfully. So you get this, I guess it's almost politicizing and platforming for the quarterbacks. I've always felt that the award should be the most valuable players to his team, no matter what the position. And I think Derrick Henry, it can be argued, is by far the most valuable player on a team that seems playoff bound and could be very dangerous in the playoffs. Does that mean he'll have a chance at winning the MVP? I don't vote. I just oversee it, and I can't really answer that, Johnny. But I would say one reason we have the Offensive Player of the Year award is to hopefully reward somebody who maybe deserve consideration for MVP for having a great year and getting another award. Michael Thomas won it last year, and I was really happy to see that. And I think Derrick Henry has to be the front runner for the Offensive Player of the Year.
But if you're talking about the Titans, a division winner and a running back in Derrick Henry, back-to-back years of leading the NFL in rushing, and, oh, by the way, he joins 7 others that are in the 2,000-yard club. To me, it's going to be very tough to not give it. With that said, however, 4 of the previous 7, there's only 4 winners that were named MVP. 3 of those 7 did not get that honor.
Yeah, well, I think that, first of all, we don't look at past years for any of the awards except Comeback Player of the Year. So what you did in past years should not have a bearing on what you do this season to the voters. But it's hard to argue that Derrick Henry has not had the kind of year that Adrian Peterson had when he won the MVP. And, you know, he's pushing the limits that guys like Eric Dickerson and Barry Sanders did. And they certainly, you know, those are Hall of Famers. So I think he'll get some consideration, and I definitely think he's a front runner, if not the front runner, for the offensive player.
How bad is it that when Eric Dickerson joined that club, he was the second only behind O.J. Simpson, and he had 2,105 yards, most rushing yards in the history of the NFL. Not only did he not win the MVP, he didn't get named the Offensive Player of the Year either. It was because of the magical year of quarterback Dan Marino that particular season.
Yeah, and I wasn't involved with the awards back then, but I think I would have been shaking my head a little bit at seeing that. But having said that, you know, we've got some players in this league, aside from the quarterbacks, who are having just outstanding offensive years and defensive years, too. And so it's nice that we do have an award for each of them. And, you know, when you see what Tyreek Hill did the other day, it just, you know, it makes your eyes pop out. And we've seen those kind of performances from some other players in the league, too. And here's another question for you, Johnny. To me, Derrick Henry is the leader for the All-Pro running back slot. But, you know, Dalvin Cook has had a terrific year, admittedly on a not very good team. And there are some other running backs who are having some very good seasons as well. So, you know, that's something to look for as we get to the end of the season, too.
How do you think the NFL has handled COVID-19 as a whole, knowing now there's issues cropping up left and right? And it seems like the unbeaten Pittsburgh Steelers are impacted the most as far as the NFL not being totally prepared before the season kicked off.
I think they've handled it pretty well through the first 9 or 10 weeks. I think what happened this past week has really been problematic. And I wrote it the other night, and I believe very strongly they need to go to an 18th week and push back the playoffs at least a week so they have some leeway. And so they don't have to force teams to be in these crazy situations. The Steelers are going to play 3 games in a very short amount of time. Meanwhile, the Washington football team is going to have almost 2 weeks between games, having played on Thanksgiving Day.
And Washington, by the way, is the team right now that if somebody's got to win the NFC East with Daniel Jones right now hampered with the hamstring injury, Alex Smith in Washington, what kind of story would that be if it's Washington winning the NFC East this year?
I think Washington or the Giants winning it would be a terrific story because of where they're coming from, new coaches changing the culture, particularly in Washington where the culture really was a cesspool in so many ways on and off the field. So, but we have to, you know, be real here that whichever of those teams gets into the playoffs is only getting in because of the division that it's playing in. And Johnny, remember, the Washington team has Pittsburgh and San Francisco on the road and Seattle at home before playing Carolina and Philadelphia. So, you know, we're looking at very likely that Washington doesn't get beyond 6 wins, but 6 wins might be enough.
Well, yeah, because that's actually, if you win 2 out of 5, that's actually a better percentage than what Washington and the Giants have done anyway. So they've got 4-11, so if you can get 2 out of these next 5, that may be enough for you to win that division.
None of those teams, I think Dallas might have the easiest of the schedules, but when you look at Dallas, I mean, I don't know that there's anybody except Jerry Jones who can look at Dallas and think that it's good enough to win enough games to get into the playoffs.
Yeah. Can Jerry Jones, just when you think that he's opened his mouth and says something stupid, just pay attention because he will still mystify you with the things that comes out of his mouth, just like he was comparing what Dallas threw out there at quarterback compared to what Denver threw out at quarterback on Sunday.
Well, I don't know that we can go back in history and ever find a quarterbacking situation worse than what Denver had to do. Now, the blame lies really with the Broncos and their regular quarterback, but some people were pointing out, I know my friend Chris Berman pointed it out, the last time a running back actually started an NFL game was Tom Matte with the Baltimore Colts, but Tom Matte was a terrific running back who threw option passes and also was an established veteran.
Right.
The guy who came out of Wake Forest as a free agent who didn't even play quarterback last season.
Look, you can blame the Denver Broncos, but you're the NFL. You're Roger Goodell. You're the commissioner. It's your job to protect the brand. Didn't see a lot of protecting the brand on Sunday with what Denver sent out on that football field.
Yeah, but there are people who feel the other way, that forcing a forfeit would be even worse. And or canceling a game and making teams play only 15 games would be worse. So there's really two sides to that coin in what protects the brand better. And having watched enough of the, I hate to mention this, Johnny, but having watched enough of the Jets this year, it wasn't a lot worse than what the Jets put out on the field.
Well, you've you probably have seen more Jets than I have, and I'm a Jets fan, so there we go with that. No, but this starts. This is not like I'm playing Monday morning quarterback with 2020 vision. I said it when this everything started back in August, looking to those early games in September. I thought it was just complete arrogance on the NFL's part that they didn't put a couple of weeks in there, built them in sometime, you know, halfway through the season, at the end of the season, before the playoffs, because they thought that with that arrogance that they were going to be good enough, making right decisions, so they wouldn't have any impact at all from COVID-19. To me, that's the arrogance I'm talking about with the NFL.
Yeah, I can see that, and I'm not going to argue with that. I do think that they probably needed, definitely think they needed to have put in a week or two somewhere. And I really believe that because television will welcome having the season pushed back, the playoffs pushed back, and more NFL product basically by adding an 18th week, that is really a logical thing to do. Let's see as we get into December here if we get more outbreaks like this and if that's necessary for them to do.
Did they make the decision, by the way, about the game tomorrow with Baltimore and Pittsburgh being a 2:40 Central Time start because they didn't want to interfere with the lighting of the Christmas tree from New York?
That was part of it, for sure. Although NBC was willing to make some adjustments if needed to the nighttime schedule because, you know, frankly, the lighting of the tree doesn't draw anywhere near the audience that an NFL game would, particularly a Pittsburgh-Baltimore game.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Do me a favor, remind the listeners what they can expect when they go to pro32.ap.org.
They can expect coverage of every NFL team. And, Johnny, we're going to do something on Friday. We're going to put out a story that kind of lists how each team has been impacted by COVID-19 during this season. So there'll be a little bit about it, virtually every team. And, you know, one thing I find amazing is that Seattle has had no cases of COVID-19. That organization deserves tremendous credit.
Well, you go from that extreme, like daytime to nighttime, with some of the other teams that have been pretty bad in their decision-making, and I'll leave it at that. Hey, we appreciate you as always, Barry. You have a great rest of the week. Look forward to talking again next week.
You bet, Johnny. Take care.